Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life,
call his wife in. Hey, 403.
What a day.
How's your boy been? Good morning, everybody. How we doing on this Thursday morning? McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Me and Fleegs with you for one more hour to the warm-up show at 5. Talking mainly about the Mets. As they were the story last night, they will be the story tonight. As unfortunately, they were unable to close out the series like everybody else does, amazingly enough, in this wild card era. All these series seem to be sweeps, except for the Mets. 2 years ago against the San Diego Padres, and last night against Milwaukee, and a game they will play tonight is only the second game three of the wild card era since 2022 in this new format. Only two times has it not been a sweep, both involving the Mets. And game three, win or go home, with Quintana on the mound is necessary because the Mets blew a one-run lead in the eighth inning last night as they brought in Maton to start the eighth inning despite the fact that he's pitched three out of the last 4 days. He had absolutely nothing. He gives up a leadoff home run to Churio. Churio proceeds to give up another base hit, gets a double play, hit like a bullet, gives up another base hit, and still Mendoza does not take him out. Gives up a two-run home run to Mitchell, who was brought in earlier in the game to pinch run of all things, and the Mets end up blowing a game and losing and now have to force this game. But ultimately, we can quibble about what they should have done in the eighth inning, and we have over the last 4 hours. We certainly have. The fact of the matter is this offense that has been, you know, the driving force of this team for a long time. And top to bottom, they have an offense that continues to give you good bats for the most part. I mean, the other night they had that five-run inning was just all the two-out clutch hits and, you know, all five runs with two outs and the ability to go the other way with the base hits. But eventually you have to start driving the baseball because they have 15 hits in this series, 14 singles. And last night they do nothing after jumping out to a lead in the first inning. They come right back with Churio's first home run of the game to tie it. Then the Mets bounce right back, as they always do, and respond to Milwaukee's run by getting two of their own in the third inning, and it felt like that was going to be the key to the game. And with Montas on the mound and this bullpen that you already touched up in game one, you figured the Mets were in line to score a bunch of runs. And with their ace on the mound, Manaea, on their way to a victory and getting ready for Philadelphia, instead the offense goes cold, gives you nothing the rest of the game despite having opportunities 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. And sure, there's multiple opportunities. In the sixth, the first two guys on, nobody out. Taylor unable to move them over. They walk Lindor after an Alvarez ground out, and then Iglesias, who's been so key for this team, strikes out with the bases loaded. That's a big spot. There's a couple of them, including Pete Alonso, who in the first inning of this game, with an opportunity to really blow it open as opposed to just scoring the one run, hits into a double play, and not only that, trips over himself and trips over the bat and goes face first into the dirt and doesn't even make it a close play at first, which I'm not sure he would have, but hits into a double play with first and third and one out. Later in the game, in the fifth inning, with a runner in scoring position, swings and misses at a splitter in the dirt, just flailing at it, and he's done absolutely nothing for this team over the course of the season, over the course of this stretch run, over the course of the series against Atlanta, and now over the first two games of this wild card series. Pete Alonso has done absolutely nothing. And if the Mets want to go anywhere, if the Mets want to, they might be able to win this game, but if the Mets are really going to take it all the way, which they are capable of, they're going to need Pete Alonso to come through. So right now, a huge game tonight. You got Diaz, whether, you know, he should have been used last night or not. He wasn't. He's fresh for tonight. Should be able to have him for two innings, six outs, something like that. The rest of the bullpen, besides, you know, maybe Maton, should be available. You got Peterson, should be out of the willing to come out of the bullpen. You've got Quintana, who's pitched relatively well over the last month, had a long scoreless streak. And this offense has got to get back to the offense it's been for Monday, the offense it was in game one. Make the most of their opportunities and maybe, just maybe, actually drive some balls into the gap and, dare I say, over the fence. 888-808-1019. But either way, must win. Elimination game tonight, and there is nothing better. Playoff baseball is fun. Even in moments like this where I know you can't take it, but it is. Let's get to the calls. We'll do a little football on the Jets, too, before we say goodbye at 5 o'clock. Giants head to Seattle. And, of course, the Yankees know their opponent as the Detroit Tigers eliminate the Houston Astros, so we could say goodbye to the nemesis. I know I wanted to be the one to take them down, but it was pretty sweet watching the upstart Tigers, who were trading people away at the deadline and got hot in the middle of August, walk in and take two straight in Houston. And, of course, the Kansas City Royals sweep away the Baby Birds, who are a fraud team who have now lost five consecutive playoff games in this wide-open window of championships in this young, wonderful team. And the Kansas City Royals, who lost 106 games last year, will come into the Bronx and, you know, re-spark some memories of 70s and 80s baseball for the New York Yankees and Kansas City Royals. And the Yankees have it set up. Mets are fighting for their lives tonight, and the Yankees are set up to get back to a World Series, facing nothing but American League Central teams who aren't any good and who the Yankees have owned over the course of the regular season. 888-808-1019. Let's get to those phone calls. Let's get to Anthony in Bethel, Connecticut. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Chris. What's going on, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I grew up in the old Yankee Stadium bleachers, Section 39, but I got to admit something. Mm-hmm. Seeing the whole city get wrapped up in the Mets, I mean, it's really been touching to the heart. I have one question to all the Mets fans. How many games do they have left this season? The answer, OMG, one Milwaukee game.
That's it. You didn't want to make it. OMG, one Milwaukee game. Fliegelman didn't even crack a smile. I don't know. I don't know if anybody liked that one.
Well, is it funny? Like, and you can make be a Yankee fan, make a Mets joke.
It wasn't terrible.
What is even the joke? I get like trying to be, but there's no
OMG doesn't
joke
stand
there.
For oh my god. It stands for one Milwaukee game. I don't know. Somewhat clever. That's okay. We can laugh at it. It wasn't that bad. There's been worse. And then plus his laugh after saying it, he was so pleased with himself. It got a chuckle out of me. But I actually don't think that's the case. I think there's going to be more games for the Mets. I do. I don't think the season ends tonight. I just don't. I think there's been too much. I think there's been too much OMG. I think there's been too much grimace. I think there's been too much of just the good vibes around this team and playing really good baseball for a long time. I personally think they're the better team in this series. I do. And I think they got the better pitching matchup. I think they have the better lineup top to bottom. And right now, I think the bullpen, besides Maton, is kind of rested. I feel good about this team tonight. I do. I feel good about this team, and they always bounce back. This is the ultimate test of who they are. This is the ultimate test of if they are this 2024 Mets team that we thought they were. This is the test. Because while they've bounced back from tough losses, and they've bounced back from an injury to Lindor, and they've bounced back from a million different things, being 0-5, 11 games under 500, brutal losses from the closer, whatever you want to say. They've never had to bounce back in a situation where they had no safety net, that the season would end if they didn't. This is the first time it's all on the line. They have no choice but to respond. And we'll find out. And I have a feeling we're going to find out that they will. Let's go to Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm happy that the Astros eliminated, and like you said, the fraud baby birds. You know,
a bunch of frauds. What frauds they are! They love talking like they, you know, at least their fans or whoever else, the media. Oh, they own the Yankees. That team stinks. Let's be honest. They've been bad for the entire second half of the year. They have no pitching, and their offense that everyone tells me is so great and so much better than the Yankees, so much younger and talented. Let's be honest. They have done, you know, we could talk about the Rushman has been awful the second half of the season. Really, this whole year he's been in a slump. I mean, he's not been terrible as far as like hitting catchers go, but he's certainly not first overall pick and this absolute stud. And Gunnar Henderson, while having an MVP first half, didn't really do much in the second half. And ultimately, they fell on their face and allowed the Kansas City Royals to go from 106 losses to beating them twice in their building. Oh, that one's almost as sweet because of how cocky and how arrogant even just all of baseball is. You look back to Baseball Reference at the start of the year, the Yankees were supposed to win 70 games or something like that, while the Orioles were on pace to 98-99. It's just, it's been this like absolute nonsense about how one team is built the way baseball teams are supposed to be built, and the other one's built by an aging moron who no longer knows how to build teams. And instead, we're getting ready to play the American League Divisional Series, and they're heading home, as well as the other, you know, losers out in Houston. That was sweet, too.
Yeah, they can all go play golf and get the golf swing rage.
Yeah, I thought you were about to drop an F-bomb, buddy. I thought for sure I had my there. I was covering that dump button. You got me there, Danny. Let's go.
I'm ready for the Royals, man. Bring back like the 70s and 80s. The pitchers are pretty good, but I think we're definitely a better team.
Without question.
I don't think it's going to be three straight. I think they might go four games. To be honest with you, they'll probably get one game on, but we got this.
Well, we'll see. I'm not even going to – I mean, they should win. They should win. They are a better team. Do they have a dangerous two starters at the top of the rotation? Yeah. Did they both pitch well against the Yankees the last time they saw them? Yes. Lugo and Reagans are good, solid starting pitchers. And the back end of their bullpen is pretty good. The lineup – is, to me, not that dangerous. And just overall, the team isn't as good. Now, doesn't mean the Yankees won't lose. I have a healthy set of nerves and fears about how the Yankees will play. That's really my fear. I don't think that the Royals are going to show up and outclass the Yankees. I don't. If the Yankees lose to any of these teams, it's going to be because the Yankees did what the Yankees have done in the postseason. Adam and Roslyn, what's up, Adam?
Hey, C-Mac, how are you, man?
Hey, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. So just quickly on last night, and I'm curious what you think. Like, the J.D. Martinez thing, it's confusing me a little bit.
Okay.
You know, he hasn't done much in a while. I mean, other than his almost homer against the Phillies, like 2.5, you know, even on Tuesday night or Monday, whatever game one was, you know, it's just a ground ball. Maybe I'm missing something. Why is Acuna not at least running for him when you're up two runs in the sixth inning, man on second, and
they're
nobody out?
Yeah, good.
Was it up with that
run? I think it was only one run at that point. The Milwaukee scored a run in the
fifth. It was
3-2,
yeah.
Yeah, it was 3-2.
I just don't get, like, come on. Like, how is Acuna not, like, immediately on second base? I mean, there's nobody else. I was actually in the car, so I didn't see
if he really could have tagged up on the ball to right field. And I don't know if it really would have made a difference. But what do you think tonight? I mean, I think Acuna's got to be in this lineup. Don't mess with JD.
So you want to put Acuna in the starting lineup and instead of JD. So what would you suggest? DHing him or playing him at short and DHing Lindor? What do you want to do?
I would have a conversation with Vientos about DHing, and if that's a situation that he doesn't want to, if he likes playing third, and if that's kind of part of like how he's, I mean, I
okay.
Vientos is the man. He does what he
instead
wants.
Instead of playing Winker at DH, yeah, you would rather play Acuna and DH Vientos and move Iglesias over to third.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I think I would just go with Winker. Winker came through with the big hit in the first inning in game one, or the second inning in game one. I think there is something to his, you know, the aura around him being sort of a villain there, and the trash talk between him and Adamas. I would probably do that. And then plus it opens me to get JD into the game, because the thing with, if you do what you say, now I know I'm not going to JD Martinez. Like, because now I'm not going to pinch hit Vientos with him, and I can't pinch it. He can't play the field, so I'm using, I guess I could bring JD Martinez in, but now every move is a two-person move. Where if I DH Winker and I get to a spot against a lefty late in the game, that's an easy pinch hit. Otherwise, I'm pinch hitting JD for a player that I have to now use another player to make my defensive move, which might hurt me later on if I want to pinch run or so. Like, now every time I use JD as a pinch hitter, it's a two-player move. That's why I'd rather just go Winker and him. And I don't know if Acuna's given you enough offensively to really, I mean, I know he played great for a while. I don't know if I got to put him in the lineup. I know he brings speed, but I can use that speed strategically later in the game. And you're right, he could have pinch ran for him in the fifth inning. I don't think that's crazy. I'm not looking to steal bases, though. Like, once he gets the second, you want to put him in there to make sure he scores on a single? Okay. I'm not going to double steal. Like, we had a call saying, oh, you got to be aggressive on the base path. One, at that point, it hasn't been like the whole game where they haven't gotten a hit. Like, it's the sixth inning. And they scored 8 runs the night before. It's not like this offense has been stagnant and you're trying to get it going. They scored 8 runs the night before. And with a lead, I'm not trying to run into outs on the base path. If I'm down, I'm chasing it, all right. But with a lead and, you know, Tyrone Taylor up and then coming up to the top of the order, I don't want to run into outs.
Also, something we didn't even talk about before.
Yeah.
They do ultimately in that inning walk Lindor. So you're still right. You're asking for one at bat,
you're right,
for Alvarez,
ultimately,
who hit a ball back to the pitcher, runs not scoring.
Right.
That doesn't end up changing the result,
no,
because then they're still walking Lindor.
Right. You're right. Lindor ends up getting walked anyway. So you're looking at the possibility of scoring on that infield single or infield ground ball, excuse me. But the whole thing changes if you have a pinch runner. Who knows what happens? But I get the point of trying to get on speed and give that runner its best chance to score. But ultimately, then you're taking out a player you believe in offensively on some level and how you want to see him get more at-bats. And then you also won't have Acuna for defensive purposes late in the game if you pinch run him there. So I get it. It's not, I don't think that's the be-all, end-all. I really don't think that's that big a deal. The big things for me, the manager made mistakes twice. The two mistakes that I think the manager made is I would have went another inning with Minaya. I thought he was pitching well. He's gone deep into games a bunch over the last 2 months. He's gone 6 2/3, like for 7 straight starts, at least that or longer, for like 7 straight starts. He still had a pitch count in the 80s. I felt pretty good about him. I know my bullpen's a little bit light. Maton, although I'm willing to go to him, has pitched 3 out of the last 4 days. I know my situation with Diaz. I probably don't have him for multiple innings. Like, I probably would have tried to get through the 6th with Minaya. I could have went the 6th and 7th with Reed Garrett. I don't feel that strong about it. I really don't feel that strong, as great as he looked on giving Stanek another inning. So I would have gone another inning with Minaya, but he didn't. And then I have no problem starting the inning with Maton. He's been their high-leverage guy. He's been their best reliever for a while. And I know he was, now in hindsight, you see, oh my God, he was exhausted 3 out of 4 days. I don't know that going in. He tells me he feels good. I'm going to take my chance with him. The problem is you can't leave him in for the home run. He gives up the leadoff home run. He gives up a single. He gets a hard ground ball hit on the button for a double play. And then he gives up another single before he allows the home run. After that single, after the double play from Willie Adames, you can't allow him to face another hitter. I mean, that's three hits and four hard hit balls and four batters. You can't allow him to give up that home run. And I don't know who you're going to because it's not going to be Diaz. You know, you go to Young. Ottavino was warming up, so you go to Ottavino there. It's not a great option, but it's better than Maton, who's clearly giving up batting practice. So that's really the main mistake. I would have went Manaea another inning, and clearly you can't let Maton face Mitchell for that home run. But I still look...
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at the offense is the reason why they lost the game.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You know, speaking of the Jets and that promo, I did just want to say something because we'll talk maybe a little bit more about this tomorrow on a Football Friday, although we'll have a reaction to a Game 3 must-win for the Mets as well, as the Jets head to London to take on the Minnesota Vikings. I've defended the Jets, and I've defended Robert Saleh even a little bit, although I think he had a terrible day on Sunday. I think he gets too much of the blame. And I do think there's a lot of nonsense. And I think sometimes because they're the Jets, the media doesn't give them the benefit of the doubt, and stories that wouldn't be stories with other teams gets blown up. And it's always, you know, I do think Saleh's been given a terrible quarterback room and all that stuff. And although he has, without question, his fair share to blame about last week, I think Aaron Rodgers had as much, if not more, to blame. And typically, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt because I do think sometimes the noise is actually worse than the situation. But Robert Saleh said something yesterday that's just plain crazy. And I don't understand because, again, I've tried to give them the benefit of the doubt, and sometimes I do think the media blows things out of proportion. But when asked about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers and the Cadence controversy, his response is, there is no Cadence issue. There never was a Cadence issue. That was created. Aaron and I are fantastic. What the hell are you talking about? How could you possibly say that they created a cadence issue when in the post game, that's specifically what you said. We would have never heard the word cadence all week if you didn't say it. You suggested that it might be a bit much for this group and that you might have to tone down all the cadence stuff and how he goes about it and tries to, you know, use it as a weapon. You mentioned it. You did. How could you possibly say there never was? I mean, all right, maybe there never was a rift between you about it. And I guess that's what he means, that it was never a rift between the two of them about a cadence issue. But you specifically mentioned that. Like, this is what, like, I'll defend Aaron Rodgers, but you can't go around saying the organization needs to just focus on winning things and nothing else and then run for vice president or consider it or do Pat McAfee and talk about Jimmy Kimmel. And, like, you can't have it both ways. And to say that that's a made-up thing when you, like, that conversation was had publicly. Nobody's speculating. You came out in the postgame and when asked about the pre-snap penalties, suggested that maybe this group isn't ready for all the cadence stuff that the quarterback pulls. You said it. And then the quarterback specifically said you could do that or you could hold them accountable. Because we're not going to mess with something that's helped me in my Hall of Fame career. Like, you created that. No one else. That was created. You're correct. You created it. I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, listen, the story about him going to Egypt's not bad. And really, how else could you have, like, no matter what you said, it was going to be a story. The idea that what Robert Saleh said during that time, like, he didn't have to come out and say it was a... inexcused absence. Maybe he didn't, but there was nothing Robert Saleh could have said that would have just completely turned that story. Like, people make it seem like all he had to do was say this and it wouldn't have been an issue. Yeah, okay. Rodgers could have missed practices and it would have been not a non-issue. Please. It was going to be an issue no matter what he said. Did he handle it right? Not necessarily, but the idea he could have just avoided the whole thing, I find ridiculous. But this... Well, no, I mean, that's just a created thing. Yeah. By you. No one would have said anything about the cadences. So I was looking at that earlier, and then the Jet promo reminded me. But we talk about more of that as they get ready for a game in London tomorrow on a Football Friday. Let's get back to the calls. Brett in Long Island. Hello, Brett.
Oh, this is great. Chris McDonald's the voice of reason for the Met fan.
Yeah.
Saying it's only one game. And then in the next breath, saying that, you know, the Royals lost 100 games last year. This would be the worst, you know, season in history if we lose to them. And they probably got to get rid of Boone and blow it up. Like, you're about as logical as Fleegs liking Justin Bieber.
Is Fleegs a Justin Bieber guy? I didn't know that.
I mean, well, makes sense, man.
Yeah, I am making sense.
You're positive. You tell me how positive you are about the Yankees. You're like, oh, well, they give me something to be positive. The Giants start. Meanwhile, they were in the division around 2 years ago. But then now, all of a sudden, now you're negative on the Yankees.
Who won the division 2 years ago? The Giants?
I said they got to a division.
Oh, they got to the divisional playoff.
I'm extremely accomplished that a lot of teams haven't done, so it's something to be positive about.
Oh, yeah, very, very
not
positive.
Not according to you.
No, not you're right. Not according to
excuses.
Right. Yeah, I'm full of excuses. That's right. About the Giants. I make tons of excuses.
Where are you at with the Yankees, the Mets? Like,
I'm very positive on the Yankees. I'm so positive on the Yankees that okay, here we go. I have no problem with you challenging me and being stupid. That's okay. I can have fun with you. But you got to let me speak, okay? All right. What I said about the Yankees, I'm being super positive about the Yankees. I think the Yankees are going to the World Series. I think this is the easiest road they've had. All I'm saying is if they can't do it now, I don't know what other... This is as easy as it's going to get for them. And if they can't do it now, it makes me wonder if this group can ever do it. And the circumstances around the Yankees and the Mets are completely different, considering where they started, what they were supposed to do, and where they are now. They're the one seed. The Mets are the sixth seed. The Mets are the final team to get into the postseason. The Yankees are the number one seed in the American League, and everything goes through them. And I'm just saying that... And if I get to a series with... Kansas City and the Yankees lose game one, I promise you, I'm going to say it's only one game. They can bounce back. And that's what I'm saying about the Mets right now.
If you're so positive, you just said it. Like, this is the easiest road they've ever had.
It is.
Now, why even say that? Like, why even say, oh, if we lose? We don't know that. Like, why even say
that? No, because we don't know that.
Every Yankee fan has been talking. Every Yankee fan that I know, by heart, has been talking for the last few years about, you know, it's a short leash on Boone, right? And a short leash on Cashman. Yeah. Even when they, you know, paid Cashman the money, they stayed. I'd say 80% of the people I know, maybe 90, didn't agree with that. They gave Boone a little bit of a pass. He was like, vanilla. But now that's done. So I don't know where you're at.
Yeah, you don't know a lot, Brett. There's a lot you don't know. You don't know where I'm at. I'm there with the 80%. What do you want? I don't understand. I'm telling you right now, this is the best chance for the Yankees to win a World Series. Now that I've said that, it would also be the most disappointing loss. If that is somehow non-positive because the words out of my mouth actually suggested the Yankees could lose, I guess I can't. Otherwise, I'm not being a real Yankee fan. Like, it's, you know, whatever. Brett, you have a weird, warped way of what you think a fan should be. You can't say a crossword. I can't even suggest the Yankees might lose or what the reaction would be to that, because then I'm sort of insinuating that's what's going to happen. I'm not. Not at all. I think the Yankees are going to win. But there is a story here about what happens if they lose, whether you want to have it or not, and I really don't give a damn. That's the story. The story is, we're not in the series yet. We're not playing the games yet. I think the Yankees are going to win. I think the Yankees are going to beat the Royals. I've been talking about how the Yankees are better than the Royals and better than the Tigers and better than the Cleveland Guardians over and over again. But it's not just the manager, and it's not just the general manager. It's the core of this team. It's this specific group that keeps trying and can't get it done. If they lose to one of these teams in the Central that they've dominated, that they are better than, and if they do it with Juan Soto and with Aaron Judge and with a hot Gleyber Torres, like, if this group and Cole, the ace of the staff, like, if he opts out, do you re-sign him? I think it's probably still a no-brainer, but now I'm like, I don't know. Do you have to maybe shed payroll and change the whole way this thing is built? Like, that's the kind of questions you might have to ask if they can't get through this American League and the benefit of not having to face the Houston Astros and the benefit of not having to face the Orioles. Like, yeah, this is as easy a path. They have not been the clear-cut favorite in the American League in a long time. They have not been the clear best team in the American League in a long time. They have not had home field advantage in the American League for a very long time. So, yeah, I expect them to win, but they better. That's part of it. That they better. But let me know what you and all of your Yankee friends, who, which I'm not sure you have many, because every time I talk to you, you're losing more friends. How many Yankee online chats are you in? But for me, that's part of the story. Got to win. Got to, Mr. Morgan Belmore. Tonight is your night, bro.
One more game. One more game.
Here we go. You're liking it, too.
Hey, what's up?
It's become a thing now, the one more game.
Listen, I want to see the Mets win. I think they're going to win like 7-2 today. I think they're going to take it home. They deserve to win today. I just called in to say, listen, first of all, you stole my thunder because I know he's got no friends. He's kicked off of every board, every Yankee board, Met board, baseball.
I don't know where you're at. Like, it's pretty clear where I'm at with the Yankees.
The funny thing is, you do know. We all know where you're at. You're frustrated. Every year we go through this. If they don't hit and the recipe doesn't work, you clean house. I mean, that's where we're at.
Well, I mean, yeah, but here's the difference.
Now, there's something wrong with
you. But my only point is, this is the difference. In 2022, you could claim that the Astros were better. That yes, they got swept, and yes, it was an embarrassment. Yeah. But the Astros went on to win the World Series. You could say the Astros were better. In 2019, you could say the Astros were better. In 2018, you certainly could say the Red Sox were better. Like you could always, in 17, you could clear, the Astros went on to win the World Series. You could say the Astros were better. There's always been a team that they've lost to that you can literally say, well, the Yankees didn't play well and it's frustrating, but they ran into a better team. They are not going to run into a better team in this American League playoffs.
Two more things.
They're not going to run into a better team.
I promise you, I won't take too much longer.
Go ahead.
Don't mess with Fleeks. Okay, Brett? Don't mess with Fleeks.
Yeah, that's the first rule of thumb.
And by the way, that's the only way you get on the radio, you dummy.
Yeah, exactly. He's the conduit to all of this. If you piss off Fleeks, I don't even know. You'll just disappear and I'll never hear from you again. And I won't know.
Brett, you'll never get through again if you keep it up.
That's
it. And then last but not least, I just got back from London. I was there. As I was leaving, the Minnesota fans were coming, but I was with a couple of music guys. The Clash is probably going to get back together. I stopped by Abbey Road. Christopher, the history. I passed Paul's house. I had crumpets with a neighbor that grew up with him.
Oh, nice.
It was incredible. I got some pictures. Just an incredible place. The place is incredible. London has gotten insane, but my point here is this. No other band. Just the music, the influence, it was just incredible. I went to this Beatles bar. It was in like an old subway station underground called Cahoots. And all they did was play Beatles songs. It's just incredible, dude.
Yeah. No, listen.
I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, one day I got to make the trip.
What was the number one song on X that you guys were voting on, the best song, the Beatles song? Which one worked? One. Because I know you did some sort of vote out there, didn't you? Or no?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Now, what is your favorite Beatles song?
I don't know. It comes and goes. I've always answered the question, You Never Give Me Your Money is my favorite Beatles song. I'm a big Abbey Road guy, so it's either Oh Darling or You Never Give Me Your Money or even Golden Slumbers. I could listen to Golden. It's short, but I could listen to... I ended my wedding with the medley of Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, and The End. That was the last song at my wedding. I think we got time for one more quick call before the break. Andrew Wabinger Falls. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
What's up?
I'm sorry to do this, but you're talking Beatles. What do you think about the Oasis reunion? Any interest there? Did you ever like them?
Yeah, no, I do. I like Morning Glory was a good album. I like Oasis. I don't think they're making new music as of right now. They're just going on tour.
They're making a new album.
Oh, they
would
are?
You splurge the money to go see them at MetLife?
Probably not, no.
Yeah,
I don't like them enough to go splurge them. I didn't know they were making new music. I thought they were just going on tour. If they're making new music, I'll definitely give the new album a try. That's for sure. But to go see them, nah, I don't really care enough.
I gotcha. So Alonzo, he's been so bad. If it stays on this pace, realistically, what kind of contract do you think he gets? Do you think the Mets even call him, or does he just get like an offer from like a low-level team, maybe like 4 years at 15 mil a pop?
Yeah, I mean, I think he would still do better than that. Qualifying offer is somewhere around 22, 23. I don't know. I don't know how other teams are going to view it. It's a slump year for a guy. In a slump year, he still hit 30 home runs. Like, there's value there. It's not the big contract he thought he was going to get, but... I mean, 4 for 15 a pop, I think he's going to do better than that. The question is, does he want the short deal in the prove-it year? Like, does he want to take a two-year deal at 20 per or something, or 25 per on a short-term deal, higher money than he'd probably get in a long-term deal, maybe a one-year deal? Would he, if they offered him the qualifying offer, would he take it? Like, I don't know. But I don't think he would take a four-year, $15 million deal. I think he would do a one-year, bigger money deal before he took some sort of deal like that. Because then that's it. At his age, I don't know if you hit free agency again with major money behind it. So if he's going to say a 4-year deal, he's not signing for $15 million. But I don't know. Nor do I care. Honestly, I don't care about what Pete Alonso is going to do in the offseason. I don't care what Juan Soto is going to do in the offseason. I don't care what the Mets or Yankees are going to do in the offseason. I care about tonight for the Mets and then starting on Saturday for the Yankees. That's what I care about. I care about beating the Kansas City Royals. I care about beating the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. I care about Pete Alonso coming through with a big hit in this game instead of hitting into double plays and then tripping over his bat. Instead of striking out with Nimmo on second base. I'm looking for a big moment from Pete Alonso in this game.
talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 449, McMonagle here with another 10 minutes. Until the warm-up show, I'll be back with you tomorrow, 2 a.m. Following the Mets, following the football, for a Football Friday, as we'll get you ready for the weekend, and hopefully preparing for two postseason series, Mets-Phillies and Yankees-Royals, which should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm sure they'll lean into the history of Yankees-Royals, which is... you know, a long time ago now, but still pretty, you know, prevalent and pretty significant, and certainly during a time period of a very fascinating Yankee team. I mean, you know, the Bronx Zoo is a very fascinating era of Yankee baseball. So that team and the Royals and George Brett and that great Royals team should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully the Yankees win. Because again, in this Yankee Hot Stove Hour, and I guess I'll give you predictions tomorrow. I don't know if anyone cares about baseball predictions. I do think the Yankees are the far better team. Like, you look at that Kansas City Royals offense, it's just not very good. Hasn't been all year. And again, if you look at all these teams in the Central, including the Kansas City Royals, if you take out the games they won against the worst team in the history of baseball, this Royals team is under 500 against everybody else in the league. Under 500. So, there's no excuses for the New York Yankees, but don't say that. Bernadette in Oceanside. What's up, Bernadette?
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very good. I don't understand what all the negativity is about the Mets for tonight. You've got to think positive. Nobody expected this team in June, when they were 11 games under 500, to come this far and make it to the playoffs. And I have a feeling they're going to just keep on rolling right through these Brewers and give us a big win. And hopefully we'll pray for the Yankees on Saturday, because they're my boys and I love them dearly. And my favorite song from the Beatles is also on Abbey Road, and it's called Something.
Something is a beautiful song. It was actually, I believe it was Frank Sinatra's favorite song, favorite Beatles song. Thank you for the call, Bernadette. Yeah, listen, I got to admit, the one thing, though, I am tired of hearing this constant refrain of nobody expected us to be here. Like, you've had the best record in Major League Baseball since June. You've had the best, you know, starting rotation ERA since June. Like, yeah, okay, maybe in May no one expects you to be here, but if you just look through June, everyone expects you to be here. Like, I'm just a little tired of that notion. I'm not saying you're wrong, and they've certainly played it up. And whatever works for motivation, I don't care. But my point is I look at these two teams, I think the Mets are better. I do. I think the Mets are a better team. Now, Milwaukee's had a nice year. They've won a division. They've earned the right to play this game at home. And they battled back when it seemed like they were dead yesterday to win a game and score a couple runs and hit some home runs in the eighth inning to upset the Mets. So, I mean, they earn your respect. But honestly, I think the Mets are the better team with a better pitching matchup and the better overall offense. And I think they should win this game. And again, that won't take away from the regular season. All they had to do to stamp the regular season a success in many ways was to make the playoffs. But that doesn't take away the fact that this is going to be a major disappointment if they don't win this game. They need to win this game. And if they don't, it's going to be a while before I start to give you the whole, well, if you would have told me back in May when they were the worst team in baseball for that month, like, yeah, but that was May. And June, July, August, September, they were the best. So like, I have a hard time just being okay with it. Having said that, I'm really optimistic about the game. And I think Met fans should be. I think part of it is they were optimistic about last night. Like, heading into that game, your ace, Manaea, has been the best pitcher on the team. Heading into that game, you just felt, you know, Frankie Montas on the mound. You take a lead. Like, that was the game they're supposed to win. You felt good about it going in, and now you feel like you've been duped. Right? You get the heroics no one expected on Monday, leading into game one, where after game one, a major talking point was, this team had every reason to just fold up tent and say, hey, I'll catch you tomorrow after what happened on to them on Monday. Like, oh, it's amazing. Look at how they showed up when they had every reason. Like, they had every reason? It's the playoffs. So what they played yesterday? They played a meaningless second game. Like, no one cares. They showed up, they played a great game, and you felt like, wow, look at them. They're overcoming all this stuff. Major League Baseball tried to screw them. The Braves tried to screw them. This one tried to screw them, and here they are. And they're about to take on and sweep this series, and they got the pitching matchup, and our guy's on the mound, and our bullpen should be rested with the day off, and this is the night. And then it blew up in your face in the eighth inning, and now all of a sudden it's like, this team, they're going to do it to me like they've done it every year since I was 10 years old when my father took me to Shea Stadium. Like, I can't take it anymore. I am positive about this team. And I do think they're going to win this game. Doesn't mean they will, but I feel pretty good about it. And I would think if you were a Met fan, you'd have to be somewhat positive. I know there's, is there a fear? Is there that pit in your stomach because you're about to play a playoff game that could end your season? Of course. But if you're being honest with yourself, they got a very good chance to win this game tonight. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Rich?
Chris, to embellish what you just said, 6 out of 15 teams make the playoffs in each league.
Yes.
That's 40% of the teams. If you don't make the playoffs, you're bad. So that's how I'll finish that.
Okay.
Do you think Mendoza made a mistake taking Minaya out?
Now, I do.
Me too. He left Severino in.
Yeah.
And he didn't show the same faith in a better pitcher, Minaya.
Yeah.
I think he left Severino because he thought he didn't have the bullpen to keep going.
Correct.
And I don't like what he did yesterday. Yeah. I think he should have kept Minaya in. Chris, what about if Michael King comes back? I think he's going to open up for San Diego on Saturday. If this guy leads San Diego to the World Series and the Yankees don't, I hope people will say, oh, the Yankees fleeced San Diego for Soto, huh?
Yeah.
They fleeced.
I think they're, and Higashioka's hitting home runs for them. He hit home runs in both games, amazingly enough.
I'll never complain about it.
The Yankees got Juan Soto.
So. Yeah, but it'll be something to bring up. Certainly something to bring up. A very, very good starting pitcher against a great hitter. Not a great player, not a good base runner, bad base runner, and not a great fielder, average fielder, but great hitter against a very good pitcher. Let's bring it up one day. Last thing, you said about Kansas City not playing the Yankees since 1980. That was a monumental playoff series. So that was Willie Randolph was thrown out or Stein at home. Steinbrenner fired the third base coach. Mm-hmm. Then Dick Houser, who had a great record, I think they won 105 games, just quit on the spot or got fired. That really changed the Yankees. And they didn't do it well. They went into the World Series the next year.
Right.
But that wasn't just any playoff series. That was a huge playoff series. It'll bring back a lot of memories on Saturday. Chris, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Richard. Yes. And not just, all the prior series before that. Tyler in Mayapak. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, Chris, what's going on? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to know your thoughts if this would be it for Boone, if the Yanks did lose to this Royals team, if it would be Boone or Cashman or both. Just wanted to hear your thoughts.
All right, Tyler. Why do you got to be so negative? Brett better not get your phone number, Tyler. How could you bring back Boone? It's not that I think he deserves to be fired. It's not even that. It's just, how do you not make a change if they can't win this series? It depends on how it plays out. They did win a division. I don't know how they view it. They were the best team in the American League this year. I don't know how they view it. I would think that putting together a team that won the division is probably enough, considering he's already under contract. I don't think Cashman would be fired. I think they would look at it, hey, he built a team that was the best in the American League and the playoffs are a bit of a crapshoot. Look, the Detroit Tigers just beat the Houston Astros. Look, the 106 loss last year, Kansas City Royals beat the, sexy team in the American League that everyone picked to win the American League this year, in the Baltimore Orioles. Like, it's a bit of a crapshoot. That's what they're going to say. But the team was good enough, won 94 games, and with the number one overall seed in the American League. But the manager, who's not under contract, the manager might be in trouble. And honestly, as much as I'll defend him, you can't lose this series. That's part of it. That's part of it. As much as I think they'll win and they have the advantage and they have the best road to the World Series they've had in forever, part of that means you can't stub your toe. And we'll find out if the Mets stub their toe tonight. I don't think they will. I think their toes will all be stubless. And we'll find out. Let's go, Mets! I'll catch you guys tomorrow, 2 a.m., for a Football Friday and obviously a reaction to the Game 3 of the Wild Card Series and hopefully a preview of both NLDS and ALDS. I'll see you then, Fliegelman. Thank you. Everybody, thank you for calling. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.